We've spent the last few weeks looking at Jeremiah, so now we're looking at Jeremiah in a new way. You get to pass these down. Here, Linda, you want to pass those down kind of this way. If I run out, too bad. You can share, or you can listen, or whatever. That's beginning to smell really good. Oh, that's not enough. That's still not enough.
That should be. Pass it on.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
All right. You two are married. You can share. No, I guess there are two of those there. Ah, I'm dropping them on the floor. That's probably more than enough there. Here's some here. We need some at this table over here. Barbara Kuhlman and her friend would love to have one. You're good at listening? I have an extra. Did it going once? Going twice? $10, $5, $3, 50 cents. Sorry, you'll have to read. We have been doing a study these last weeks on Jeremiah and the dangerous times in which he was a prophet and speaking to the people. Much of the time of Jeremiah, his city, Jerusalem, was a mess. It was being threatened, it was besieged, it was finally conquered by the power of Babylon. And Jeremiah was believed to have been the author not only of his book Jeremiah, which Baruch, his secretary, wrote down for him, but also of the smaller book that follows it called Lamentations. And even if he wasn't the author, the book of Lamentations is written at the same time and about the feelings from the situation of what was going on in Jerusalem and the exile of the people. Because Jerusalem was conquered, somewhat destroyed, and the leaders of the people, like the school teachers, like the musicians, like the philosophers, you know, like the designers and the construction people, the leaders were taken a long way away to Babylon. So it was a grim time. The city has fallen, its buildings and palaces, the temple and the city wall have all been destroyed. So the homeland has been turned into rubble and many of its people taken away. So we come to the Old Testament text, which I didn't let Tim read yet. This text is from Lamentations, and it is what? A lament. You use that word a lot, lament? How many of you talk about lament? Oh, I've got a lament. No, it's not a very common word, right? But a lament is a cry of deep pain and sorrow. And so what I want you to do, if you want to dig into your purse or pocket or something and pull out even a pen, I want you to listen and maybe read along as Tim reads this passage. And I want you to make notes of, you could circle or check some parts of this lament that is particularly poignant or meaningful for you. Okay, Tim, come slowly. I see some people digging for pens because they follow directions around
here.
Got
my pen.
There. Tim has his pen. Okay. So this is Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It's not a long book. You might go home and read the whole book of Lamentations.
How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She that was great among the nations, she that was a princess among the provinces, has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night, with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. they have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile with suffering and hard servitude. She lives now among the nations and finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the festivals. All her gates are desolate. Her priests groan, her young girls grieve, and her lot is bitter. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So I want to offer you a chance as kind of a Lectio Divina, a divine reading kind of Bible study, to reflect on some of the phrases in this that are really powerful perhaps for you. And since you might be looking at it, we could start toward the top. Does anybody see something that they would lift up as something that really has some strength for you? Yeah.
Lonely.
Loneliness is a powerful thing.
When you think of like a widow, and it is a loneliness, you know, it's something that you've been together so many years and now there's nothing there.
Exactly. And so the city is like a widow, and that you can feel what that poet is saying. Yeah.
It reminds me of when we grieve over loss of a loved one.
Oh, exactly. There's a lot of grief in the Book of Lamentations. There was a lot of grief in what was going on for Israel as Jerusalem fell, as the people were taken away. Yeah.
Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor. And those were people who had loved their neighbor. But now their neighbor has been taken away, or the neighbor's house is gone, or maybe the neighbor has been killed. There's just so much sorrow here.
Was a princess.
Well, yeah. She that was a princess. Think about what their life used to be. Imagine how easy and beautiful and fun and delightful, and it's gone. She, meaning Jerusalem, was a princess. And now she's become a vassal, a slave, an underling. Right. What else?
Her friends have dealt treacherously.
Her friends have dealt treacherously. What would that feel like when you've had friends and suddenly you can't trust them anymore?
That'd be scary.
It would be scary. Absolutely. It takes the foundation out from under where you stand, doesn't it? It hurts. She's got tears on her cheeks. Weeps bitterly in the night. Isn't that the time that we so often find ourselves weeping, is in the darkness, in the night? The night is the dark, the hard time.
And they're longer.
The nights are longer. Those hours are longer, absolutely.
I think of my nephew that just died and the people that came in the night and stole the car and everything else from the family.
Yeah, that such evil things can happen in the darkness. Right, right. Reminds you of Job. The Bible is no stranger.
There's no resting place.
Is what?
No resting place.
No resting place. No one to comfort her. No resting place. Her young girls grieve. There's so much. Lectio Divina is a way of doing Bible study. Typically with Lectio Divina, you sort of close your eyes and the scripture is read through once. And then it's read through a second time as you listen for words that kind of rise up to the top for you. And then it's read a third time as you think about how you are part of that scripture. We're not going to do all of that, but I want the scripture to kind of come alive for you. Even if we're not in distress ourselves right now, we can hear what distress is like for the people of God. It is sad. So this is a lament. Now, I've heard a biblical lament translated, the word lament translated, what a lament is described as a lawsuit against God. So in a lament, you are standing up and accusing God, because God has offered to be our covenant God who has provided for us, and suddenly we can say, how did you let this happen? How did you let Jerusalem fall? How did you let my husband die? How did you let my neighbor quit speaking to me and care for me? How did you let this happen? You are our covenant God. We have a legal case against you. What I think is really positive about that is that we have a God who will listen to what we have to say, who cares about how we feel. And when we are angry with God, we can say so. God doesn't strike us dead with a bolt of lightning. God listens to our hurt. So, Daniel, if there were a bully in your class making people feel lousy, we could say, God, we don't like this bully business. Would you take care of this? Well, God maybe will take care of it and maybe won't, but God will hear what we have to say, because God doesn't want children bullied in their classes or hurt in their homes. So I'm part of a preacher, what I call a preacher prayer group. We meet twice a month. When we meet, we share a little bit, and then we read a psalm, and the psalm leads us into 20 minutes of silence. Can you imagine 20 minutes? It's a silent prayer, a centering prayer. 20 minutes. We set a timer. So this week, the psalm that was read was Psalm 137. It goes like this. You may know it. On the willows there, we hung up our harps, our lyres, for our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors wanted to hear our mirth. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. The psalmist asks, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Psalm 137 is set in Babylon during this time of exile after the fall of Jerusalem. The psalm reflects the sadness, even the desolation among the people who are left behind in this destroyed Jerusalem, but also the ones that we find taken away and living in the hollows along the river in captivity. So after reading the psalm, we go into this 20 minutes of silence and meditation and prayer. But last week, my colleague Doug, who read the psalm, didn't stop where we like to stop when we read Psalm 137, because Psalm 137 has some sort of gruesome verses at the end that we just kind of usually stop before we get there. But Doug, dadgummit, read those verses. I hate that part. It's the agonizing part about children being murdered in gruesome ways. It's lousy. So we went right into a 20-minute time of silent meditation with those verses echoing in our heads. One of the group said he just kind of went into silence being mad. I went into silence opening myself up to God to use that time. I kind of had to let God take over. And here's what I began to think about. I found myself thinking about children treated badly in that psalm, but about children who go to school hungry in our community. About children in foster care for whom a judge might have to decide about the termination of parental rights so that the child can have a secure kind of future in a loving home. One of my colleagues is a guardian ad litem and is speaking for children in that very situation. I was thinking about children in Venezuela and in other countries for whom life has become frightening and the future uncertain. I found myself thinking how history shows the suffering of children, slave children in our own nation who were sold away from their mothers. Native American children treated without regard in the history of our own nation. Children in times of war and famine and plague, generally because they're frail anyway, are the first to die. Children who died in the Holocaust in Europe in World War II. I found myself in that time of meditation thinking of the awful ways our world has treated and treats children. So there's no wonder that we might come to lament as Jeremiah did, and as this lament, which talks about princesses, but also reminds us of the painful, sorrowful, horrible times that people go through. Well, Professor Arnold Rhodes wrote the book, The Mighty Acts of God, which some of us used as a study back in the 1960s, and he wrote this. He said, "The fall of Jerusalem, the holy city, raised questions for many concerning the love and power of God. For these poems in the Book of Lamentations were composed for use at public fasts concerning Jerusalem's tragedy, and they served as a channel, get this, for cleansing and for release." And Rhodes says, "God honors the honest complaint of his complaints of his people, and he uses those complaints as a means of healing." Now, that's not just true of this passage from Lamentations in the Bible. It's true for any time in your life when you have something to lift before God and say, "This is really painful for me and for people I love, for my church, for my community, for my family. This loss, this death, this divorce, this betrayal." Whatever it is, when we stand before God and lift it up and say, "I don't like this. Help me deal with what this is." We must remember that Lamentations, our own, and this book is made up of the honest sobs of broken hearts. And we know that God is as truly concerned with broken hearts as with lofty thoughts. God will hear the cries of your hearts. So that's the context of our Old Testament lesson, our lament, Jeremiah's lament, and ours too, the ones that we feel ourselves. But the other context of the day is that this is World Communion Sunday. One of the reasons I was thinking about children around the world, but also one of the reasons we're using different kinds of bread to kind of think about people around the world eat differently or dress differently or live differently. Some of them are already at nighttime, or some of them haven't yet gotten much past dawn. The world is a mix of places and peoples. And there are many things we can think about and celebrate today. We celebrate the Christians all around the world gathering the table and breaking the bread and lifting the cup. We celebrate the faith we hold in common in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We can celebrate the work of Christ being done wherever Christians live and worship. And we come with the words of the disciples who make request of Jesus, because sometimes we have to make this request as they do. "Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. We don't have enough without you giving us more." And the Lord replies to them as Jesus might reply to us, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you might say to this tree," in Matthew it's a mountain, in Luke it's a tree, this mulberry tree, "be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you." So we sometimes stand before God with questions in our heart, with the cries of heartbreak in our minds. We might come ready to shake our fist at God as Jeremiah's people might well have after the fall of Jerusalem. But by standing in God's presence, we know that we have a God who listens and who loves us. A God who rescues and redeems, who moves trees and mountains and maybe plants them in the sea. How crazy is that? A God who heals hearts when we can't imagine that they could ever be healed. A God who gives us his very own Son to be broken for our sakes and to save us for today and for always.